Okay. Yesterday, you may have all heard about a new data analysis released by CDC that underscores the disproportionate impact of HIV and syphilis among gay and bisexual men in the United States. The rates of HIV and syphilis were estimated for the first time based on new estimates of the size of the U.S. population of men who have sex with men. For HIV and syphilis, respectively, the rates were 60 and 61 times the rate for other men and 54 and 93 times greater than the rate for women. Among MSM, African-American men bear a disproportionate burden of HIV and other STDs. We know this from other data sets. In a recent study of newly infected African-American men in an urban southeastern city, many of the men reported being seen by a healthcare provider in the year prior to their diagnosis without ever discussing HIV or STD discussions or screenings. These data suggest that for these men, the majority of whom were gay or bisexual and they were newly diagnosed with HIV, there were missed opportunities for HIV STD prevention and screening during healthcare visits that occurred in the year prior to their diagnosis. Working directly with providers is one approach to take to reducing missed opportunities for HIV prevention. The National Medical Association is a professional organization which represents the interests of more than 30,000 African-American physicians and the patients they serve. The NMA first began expanding its efforts to help its physician members to be more aware of the impact of HIV/AIDS within the African-American community back in 1990. At that time, Dr. Virginia Kane first reported on the important role of black physicians in the HIV/AIDS epidemic, as the epidemic was disproportionately affecting African Americans, and the data also showed at that time that African American patients disproportionately visit African American physicians, and this has continued to this time. Therefore, it has become increasingly important for African American providers to be informed and engaged as part of the solution for the HIV/AIDS crisis. In recent years, NMA again increased educational and technical assistance efforts with physician members to offer routine HIV screening for patients during clinical visits. Most recent efforts were as a result of partnering with CDC to mobilize professional healthcare membership organizations, and NMA was one of them, but we partnered with several others, around the 2006 CDC revised recommendations for HIV screening in adult and adolescent populations. In partnering with NMA, we learned about some of the challenges NMA physicians encountered when trying to implement the recommendations for routine HIV screening. We then incorporated the information that they gave to us into a tool that could help facilitate their routine HIV screening efforts. And today I'm going to tell you some more about that process and that tool. The objectives of this morning's talk are to, one, describe the facilitators and barriers of routine HIV screenings between NMA physician members and their patients, and two, to discuss the implementation of a routine sexual history tool that NMA providers can use in their clinical settings to help facilitate routine HIV and STD screenings. So how did we do this? After NMA was funded to help roll out some of the routine HIV screening information, from 2006 to 2009, NMA began conducting 16 training sessions for their physician members. They did so in a variety of settings. They have regional NMA affiliate offices. They were engaged. They also conducted some meetings at their national conferences. Some of the cities that were visited are listed here. In addition to these cities, again, they did trainings in 2007, 2008, and 2009 at the national NMA meetings. And as you can see here, most of the trainings happened in cities that already have high STD and HIV rates. The training sessions included information on HIV/AIDS epidemiology, including the disproportionate impact on African-American men, the importance of routine HIV screening during medical visits as one HIV prevention intervention tool, and the importance of dialogue about HIV/STD prevention approaches with patients. So how'd we do? There was, of course, some resistance at first when the NMA HIV AIDS Advisory Board started to reach out to the membership to invite them to the different HIV AIDS trainings. As many of you know who work in this field, information about HIV and its disproportionate effect on African Americans is something that's slowly been coming more to the forefront in terms of the domestic epidemic. We were able to train a total of 2,000 NMA physicians. Their age range was very wide. They ranged anywhere from 26 years old to 73 years old. Everyone who attended was usually enthusiastic, at least to hear about the information. Over 80% who attended the different sessions felt their knowledge about HIV and STD education and HIV screening in clinical settings increased after the training sessions. Over 70% were internists or family practitioners. We were reaching out to primary care providers because they are the ones who were having the most, the biggest lag in terms of routine HIV and STD screenings. And many of the physicians that we encountered reported barriers to more effectively implementing the CDC revised recommendations for HIV screening. And so we wanted to explore that with them and help them to do better with implementing these guidelines. For today's presentation, I'll mention just those barriers that led to the development of the tool that we helped them develop to facilitate their efforts. Providers, they mentioned other issues that had to do with insurance reimbursement, et cetera, but we won't cover those in today's presentation. The main barriers mentioned by NMA providers included discomfort with initiating a sexual discussion during a routine clinical visit, particularly with their male patients, uncertainty about what to ask during a sexual history and how to ask it, and time constraints that prevented them from really devoting time to this important screening effort. They suggested that an HIV STD screening dialogue could be facilitated by having a brief basic sexual health history document that could be used during clinical encounters in order to help them become more familiar and comfortable with the sexual history process and also ease the transition to a discussion of HIV and or STD screenings. So we at CDC thought this was certainly a great next step and something that we could definitely facilitate their efforts on. What do we know about routine sexual histories? Well, the idea of routine sexual histories has been around for many years. Since the 1990s, there have been several national organizations, including the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, the Institute of Medicine, and CDC, who have recommended periodic sexual risk assessment to determine which patients are most likely to benefit from HIV and STD screenings or prompt risk reduction counseling. Today, there remains a wide range in what clinicians are actually doing regarding taking a sexual history in the context of a clinical visit. From provider studies, we know that an estimated 30 to 80% of providers reported taking sexual histories or documenting sexual histories. And that's most of that is self-report, so you guys understand that that range is probably very different in reality. Studies of patients, from the patient's perspective, suggest a lower proportion, with anywhere from 15 to 28% of patients reporting that they recall their provider discussing either HIV or STD prevention or offering them testing at a recent clinical visit. Furthermore, learning how to conduct a sexual history is not yet a standard part of medical school or even all nursing school curricula. Sexual history discussions can serve as bridges to offering HIV and STD screenings and prevention messages in healthcare setting. And so we began the process of working with the NMA to implement a sexual history tool that could be used during their clinical visits. So what did we do? We wanted to provide an appropriate tool, but we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. And for those of you who are familiar with NMA, they were very vocal with us in terms of what would and wouldn't work. One of my colleagues is in the back of the room, Roxanne, and she can probably agree that when we first shared with them the five-page document that many of you might use, many of us might use in our clinical settings, they were like, no, that's not going to work. So we revised and we got down to something that would be acceptable for them for use in their clinical practices. Again, remember, these are primary care providers, mostly primary care providers. So the requirement was that we revise it down to one page, that we time it so that if they were pressed, they could complete it in less than 7 minutes, but providers could expand as needed based on patients' messages and responses. They wanted it to be appropriate to ask of all male patients because definitely among men of color, many don't self-identify as MSM, and so it was important to be broad with the tool. And they needed to have two versions, provider-administered and patient-self-administered, just to try to see what would work better. And that's something we were interested in learning more about at the CDC as well. The tools could either be used in hard copy or as part of the electronic medical records. I'm sorry, I know this is hard to see, but I wanted to show everyone, just in case there were some skeptics, that we did get it down to one page. So so this is actually going to be the self-administered version that the patients will be able to use in the office, either in the waiting room or once they're in the office with the physician. So we've gotten started with the pilot. We realized after sending out probably 3,000 to 4,000 letters to docs all over the country who are in cities with high HIV and STD prevalence that even this is encountering some resistance. But we were able to get some folks on board. Our goal was to engage a wide range of docs, not just those who are already part of the choir and get the piece about taking sexual history and doing HIV and STD screening, but we also wanted those docs to bring on board some people who are more resistant, who are not as open to the idea, because we really wanted this tool to test well against or test well with both sets of docs. So far, we've recruited a total of 22 providers. We've asked each provider who's participating already to engage two or three of their provider friends in those same cities. And with that, we really hope to get the message out and engage as many people as possible. Data collection is in progress. We are basically doing measures at baseline. To see where people are in terms of how many documented sexual histories they have in their records, how many HIV and STD screenings they have in their records, and then whether or not the physicians feel comfortable with the process that we've asked them to institute. Most of the physicians who are engaged so far are primary care providers, but we also have one very enthusiastic surgeon who is really working hard to increase his HIV and STD screening efforts with his male surgical patients pre-op and post-op. So here's what we are evaluating, and let me make a plug, if I may, if any of you are available July 31st to August 4th, we will have completed data collection by then, and that's when NMA is having their 2010 annual clinical meeting in Orlando, Florida. So we will be looking at these items here, pre and post measures, number of male patients seen. Again, the tool is not specific to MSM, but if they have male patients that self-report same-sex behavior, they can go further into a dialogue. One of the things we plan to do in Orlando at the NMA meeting is also help those docs who might have a patient who self-identifies MSM, help them learn how to do rectal cultures, because that's another thing that the docs talked about. Well, you know, you get us doing this, and then what happens? We don't really have the skills for the next set of steps. So in summary, African-American MSM carry a large and disproportionate burden of HIV and other STDs, and we know that even more so from the data that was announced yesterday. Healthcare providers can be a big part of reducing missed opportunities to offer HIV STD screening during routine medical visits. And routine sexual histories during medical visits have been recommended and can play a huge role in providing a bridge for providers to initiate discussions about HIV and STD screenings, and therefore help them implement our recommendations to their fullest extent. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
If this is successful, there are any thoughts of maybe then transitioning this and taking it to SMA and bringing it to the students?
Yes, definitely. There's a liaison person who serves a role in bridging information between SNMA and NMA, and that's one of the things that we hope will come out of these data. Another thing that's happening is the executive director of NMA, Dr. Actor, is actively working with Howard University's SNMA chapter and some other SNMA chapters in the area and keeping them on board with this process as it rolls out so that they can be a part of it. And he's also working with them to develop a medical school curriculum that would make this transition to them going into clinical practice easier in terms of talking about sexual histories. Yes.
And would you just like to add that on too, have you considered that extending it into the nurse practitioner programs? You said the nursing curriculum is also lacking.
Yes, that's one of the things we're hoping to do. We haven't I know that we have an NBNA, National Black Nurses Association, and some of the other associations' liaisons on board in terms of the process and the fact that we're doing the study, but we haven't formally linked up with them yet. But one of the things that Dr. Actor is working on is also a curriculum that could be modified or adapted with other healthcare curricula. Yes.
In advance, Michelle Allen, Fulton County. I wanted to tell you I enjoyed your presentation, and one thing that I think is really helpful for providers that participate to know that in this opportunity, the patients are completely unaware. Fulton County, we are a hotbed of syphilis, and many clients say, oh, I've had that test because I just recently went to my provider, and the clients are really shocked that they have not been screened for STD. And it's difficult for them to understand why not, because the assumption is, you know, I went to my doctor, not realizing that a primary care physician may not routinely screen for HIV or STD. So this is excellent.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, you raise a good point. I'm an OBGYN by training, and I get that whenever I see a lot of my female patients who believe that if they have a pelvic exam, that everything was checked for. And that's something that we haven't sufficiently in the healthcare arena been able to deal with, how we help patients understand what is being done and what's not being done so that they know what things they might still be in need of. Yes. Yes, I agree, and you're absolutely right. The initial cooperative agreement that CDC had was with other non-minority organizations as well. So ACOG was part of it, AMA, HIV Medical Association was also part of it. What we found, though, and the other organizations didn't report the resistance and hesitancy and lack of comfort with a sexual health discussion as much as the providers and NMA have. And there have been studies to show that culturally, people of color, at least African-American people in this country, have more barriers up in terms of having sexual health discussions. And so we thought this was an opportunity to really work with them and try to address one of the barriers that they thought would really help them do a better job with these screenings. Yes.
I was wondering if you were addressing or encouraging the use of tools like this in non-routine encounters, because I think a lot of people see the importance of it in your regular checkups, but a lot of, especially men, like young men, aren't coming in for regular checkups, and they don't necessarily need to either, but they do come into the doctor. So you're saying that you're going to encourage providers to use this even at, acute visits and things like that?
Yes, definitely. Ideally, Each healthcare encounter would be an opportunity. Part of some of the docs who are in the pilot group that are part of the analysis now, some of them are emergency room physicians, and they are rolling it out also as part of their processes. Yes.
I think about all the things you're mentioning around culture and history and all those things. I mean, one other interesting avenue to take would be to talk to the GLMA, the Gay Lesbian Association, and see. What are they doing? Or what, are they thinking about using this tool too? Because it might provide a different kind of window or research opportunity for how to use this tool.
Yes, that's an excellent point. And we actually engaged the gay and lesbian group at the last APHA meeting to kind of get their thoughts around the study, the sexual history tool. They actually thought that even the one pager we have is too long. So they're real hardcore. But yes, they've been engaged as part of this process, and we've been enjoying the fact that we have feedback from so many different perspectives. Yes.
You also get feedback from the patients who are receiving these physicians to see what their perceived barriers were, to speak to the physician about the sexual health.
Yes, that's something that we're getting by way of the provider, and some of the providers are going to, in the context of their own HIPAA rules, ask patients questions after the encounter. We may or may not be able to get those data. This is not a research study per se, but an evaluation, and so we have some limitations on what we can do. But we hope to find out from the providers or get some secondhand information about what the patients feel. We know from previous studies that most patients are willing and eager to have the discussion but never feel the door open from their provider. And so we think this tool will be something else that can help the provider open the door so that the patients can just let it all spill. Thank you.